The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." He also said to them, "Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come in power." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, good evening, sisters and gentlemen. It is a delight to be with you here on this lovely Friday afternoon. I'm going to begin this retreat, this Holy Mass, and this homily trying to comment a little bit on the Gospel, but also to set up the vision for the next couple of days. Begin by introducing myself. My name is Father Bryce Sibley. I am a priest of the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, currently serving as the chaplain and pastor of Our Lady of Wisdom Church and Catholic Student Center on the campus of the University of Louisiana, the home of the Ragin' Cajuns. So it is a blessing to be here. I first came to know the sisters about 20 years ago, and last year was my first opportunity to come and give a retreat. So I gave the men's retreat last year. Some of you, of course, may have been on that. And so last year, for those who were here, the theme of the retreat was saints, not superheroes. This idea that so many people have to really be holy, to be a saint, God wants us to be a superhero, to never make a mistake, to conquer in power. But in reality, it's exactly the opposite. True sanctity is not never making a mistake, but embracing our own sinfulness and weakness and going to Christ to receive his mercy and forgiveness. And so we looked about those few days, this truth, and how difficult it was for men to do. Men who like to be in control, men who like to show everybody that we're powerful and strong, who don't like to admit weakness. And so I think there was a fair amount of fruit that came from that retreat. So this year's retreat is a sort of sequel to last year's retreat. It's actually one that I started thinking about even during the course of the retreat. If you didn't go last year, you didn't have to be there to know what we're going to talk about, but I do suggest if you want to get copies of the tapes or the CDs from Sister in the bookshop. We're going to do, though, this year, is focus on one specific character from the Bible. It's one that we are all very familiar with, and that is the figure of St. Peter, the Prince of the Apostles. And I'm sure we all can identify in some way with St. Peter, probably of all the different apostles. He's the one that connects with people the most. He loves the Lord passionately. He wants to do the right thing. But he's impetuous, puts his foot in his mouth all the time, making mistakes, often very, very hard-headed. But the Lord is so patient with him, and he never gives up. And so the book that I recommended, or I don't know if I've recommended it yet, or I will recommend for this retreat, is one that was just recently published by Ignatius Press, written by a priest named Dom Lipori, and it's called Simon Called Peter, a very, very small book, where he gives a bunch of very beautiful reflections on the figure of Peter throughout Scripture, based on the different stories. Very imaginative meditations that I think, really, if you pick up today in the bookstore or tomorrow or whenever, and use it along with Scripture and the passages that we're going to be looking at, would be a profound source for meditation. And so the introduction of this book really sums up the whole idea of why we're focusing on Peter and why he's so important So I'll give you the quote from the book. He says, Peter is the saint in the Gospels who is most like us, the closest to our humanity, and yet also very close to Christ. We can always follow Peter. He always leads us to Jesus. He unites us to Jesus because he never permitted his own fragility to separate his heart from Christ, even when he denied him. And it is for this reason, I believe, that Simon Peter is the character we recognize best in the Gospels. We know all about Peter, his abilities and limitations, his sins and his sanctity, his psychology, his whole character. All of this lies before us absolutely clearly, so much so that at times he seems a bit superficial and crude to us. Peter's transparency is gospel, is part of the gospel, for the good news of redemption in Christ. We can and must enter the school of Simon Peter, the school of his journey with Jesus, in order to follow the Lord as he wants to be followed, to cling to Christ as he enables us to love him. So that's what we're going to be doing over the course of this retreat. We are hopefully going to be entering into the school of Saint Peter. We're going to focus on four passages in particular, even though if we had a longer retreat, we could focus on more of them. Four passages where Peter fails in some way. Or Peter puts his foot in his mouth. Peter is impetuous. Peter denies knowing Jesus Christ. So we're going to try to understand the meaning of the passage, what the author intended, and then try to take a deeper spiritual meaning and apply it to our lives. We understand that these stories about Peter, scholars say, quite arguably came from Peter himself. At least some of them did. The tremendous humility to sit here and say, all right, I'm the first pope, but look at all the stupid things I did, and I never gave up, and Jesus still loved me. And so the whole world knows how bad of a failure Peter was. But yet, because of his failure, he always clinged so much more to Christ. So that's what we're specifically calling this retreat. The sisters were kind of saying, Father, that's a strange title. When I told them, we're calling it St. Peter and the Art of Failure. St. Peter and the Art of Failure. And actually, it's a strange title, but I took it from somewhere. There is a wonderful author whom, again, the sisters may have some of his books in their library. His name is Father Marie-Eugène de la Font-Jésus. He's probably the greatest Carmelite scholar of the 20th century. He's the one who wrote those sort of magisterial works, I Want to See God and I'm a Daughter of the Church. But he wrote this small little book called Under the Torrent of His Love, where he talks about, sort of gives a treatise on the spirituality of St. Thérèse. And again, beautiful, so many wonderful insights in that book. And we're going to look a lot at Thérèse over the course of our retreat. But he says, and this is where I get the phrase for the retreat, Thérèse would even cultivate what we might call the art of failure. She would perform some action which turned out unsuccessful. She had been unfaithful. She would then say, if I had been faithful, I would have received the reward of merit. I was unfaithful. I am humiliated. I am going to receive the reward of my poverty and humiliation. Needless to say, she never sought unfaithfulness for its own sake. It's the logic of the cross, the art of failure, the logic of the cross. And that's where we tie it into today's gospel. And the very powerful statement, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. The logic of the cross is the exact opposite of what we'd expect. Well, if we want to save our lives, we've got to do everything to protect ourselves. If we want to become holy, we've got to be superheroes. The logic of the cross is the exact opposite. If we want to save our lives, we must lose it. If we want to follow Jesus, we're going to have to pick up the cross, and picking up the cross means sometimes we are going to fall. The logic of the cross is the greatest triumph in the world. The conquering of sin came from what appeared to be the most fantastic failure. Here's Jesus preaching the gospel, working miracles, and then 3 years later, even a week later after entering in on Palm Sunday, he's dead on the cross. It went through some of the apostles' minds and some of the followers. What are we in this for? It's a complete and total failure. So just when it seemed that everything was lost, though, the Lord worked his miracle of redemption. And so we have got to learn the art of failure, never for its own sake, but when we fall, when we make mistakes, when we sin, to not let us alienate us from Christ, but draw us closer to him and purify our own ideas and understanding of what true holiness is. During the course of the retreat, I'm also going to be quoting a fair bit from Pope Francis, some beautiful things to say about this idea of the art of failure. He said in one of his recent homilies, "A church that only thinks about triumphs, successes, does not know that rule of Jesus. The rule of triumph through failure, human failure, the failure of the cross." That's the failure of the cross. If we are going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to start thinking with a different logic. We're going to start seeing Peter not as a bumbling fool, but yet as that icon and that image of the saints we are called to be. And like I said, it's particularly difficult for us as men. We don't like this idea. We want everything to be reasonable. We want to be in control of everything. It's because, as I said, we have such a flawed view of what holiness is. And so I'll close today with a quote that I used in last year's retreat from probably my favorite spiritual author today, Father Jacques Philippe. I like the Frenchies. And Father Philippe was here in retreat a few weeks ago, and so you can probably get some of his CDs from the sisters. And he really sort of sums this up. And again, it's the continuation of the theme we began last year. God is less concerned to make us perfect than to attach us firmly to him. One sort of perfection, according to the image we often have of it, would make us self-sufficient and independent. Being wounded in this way makes us poorer, but brings us into communion with God. And that is what counts. Not attaining ideal perfection, but being unable to do without God, being constantly bound to him. For by our wretchedness as much as by our virtues, so that his love can pour itself into us unceasingly, and we somehow give ourselves entirely to him because we have no alternative. This attachment will sanctify us and bring us to perfection. Who does that sound like? That sounds like St. Peter. St. Peter, who constantly failed, who constantly made mistakes, even to the point of denying knowing Jesus 3 times. But he never despaired. And he always clung to Jesus. He was always there because, as he himself said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. To whom will we seek this out from? Who else will we go to?" That's the point. He had no one else to go to but Jesus. And hopefully during the course of this retreat, as we look at the life of Peter and study in the school of Peter, we'll have a better grasp of our own weakness and sinfulness and lead it to make us more closely attached to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.